אתם עם SBS בעברית. לעוד סיפורים מעניינים, כנסו ל-sbs.com.au.
Michael Danby, thank you so much for joining us on SBS.
Thank you, Maria.
Tell me, how exactly are you feeling about this three-phase hostage deal?
I'm pleased for the young women and the 30 that are getting out, including 10 dead bodies we don't know. I do hope those poor Bibas children are amongst them. But it looks very bad on the ground in Gaza. The Hamas people have come out in all of their uniforms. So the conflict is unresolved because the Israelis say their aim is to get rid of Hamas. And Hamas has clearly not gotten rid of it. It makes very hard a future settlement or peace in that area, because if the Israelis won't deal with Hamas, and Hamas are in fact holding power in Gaza, it makes it very hard for the international community to know what to do, where to go. But it's very nice to see those three young women come out, and very cruel to hold. The fact that Israel is a tiny state, 10 million people, a third the size of Tasmania, that they have to endure these kind of things. But the Gaza situation for them, from their point of view, is not good. The hostage situation is a sort of slight benefit, but they're letting out hundreds of people who have been convicted of crimes. And I say they're not just, you know, randoms. They're convicted of crimes. But the wider conflict, which I'd like to speak to you about, has gone a lot better. I think that the election of Trump gives a possibility of a wider peace in the Middle East.
What do you think is going to happen next with this phase deal with Israel? We're expecting four more girls to get released on Saturday.
Yeah, they're going to be tortured weekend after weekend as to who comes out, whether they come out as dead bodies or they come out as humans. And what Hamas does in the meantime, it's all going to be a very melodramatic experience over the next 7 weeks. The ceasefire in Lebanon is holding. Syria doesn't have any chemical weapons or heavy weapons anymore and can't attack Israel. Iran has been defanged of all of its anti-aircraft missiles, and they await the heavy judgment of President Trump. And I expect the resumption of the E3 snapback sanctions, American maximum pressure at the very least.
Why do you think, you said earlier that you think that it's more hopeful on the ground in Gaza? Do you think it's potentially the beginning of the end of the war?
No, I don't. I think a big part of it, the 15 months, has been horrible, but it is behind us. And as the just resigned Israeli Chief of Staff, Herzliya Levy, has said, he's dismantled most of the Hamas 24 battalions. He's not able to do what the Prime Minister of Israel, Mr. Netanyahu, and his cabinet wanted, and that is destroy them. He has dismantled them. That means their military organization doesn't exist. But I think we're going to see a resumption of the fighting. Hamas will shoot more rockets into Israel or do some terrible action with the hostages that they're releasing. But I think it'll gradually wind down. The question is how do you end it with Hamas still there? Because Israelis after October 7 won't deal, as they did previously, with the Hamas government in Gaza.
There's been another terrorist attack only yesterday, which was Tuesday, in Tel Aviv, actually, with a knife man who actually entered the country legally.
Yeah, as an American citizen.
As an American
citizen.
He was
Moroccan originally, yeah. And there are all of these kinds of variations that these people do, just as it's possible that there are some outside interference in the bombing of the daycare centre in Sydney. The point is that they're not existential threats to the state of Israel. That's the big change in this war. While the Gaza thing is less resolved than people hoped it might be, the big existential difference between Iran and Israel is much closer to being solved, because there's been a complete shift in Lebanon, in Syria, in Iran against the Iranian alliance, and they were a threat to Israel's existence. Now President Trump, together with Mr. Netanyahu, will make a judgment about how close they are indeed to an atom bomb.
What do you think about Hezbollah?
They are so deeply penetrated. If I was Hezbollah, I'd be more afraid of being active than being inactive. The pages, 3,000 people were injured or killed. It's like out of espionage history, targeted attack on people involved in a terrorist organisation. I think Hezbollah are there, but they, again, Lebanese, society is so deeply penetrated by Israeli intelligence, I think they're much less of a threat than the sort of vicious thugs of Hamas or the vestigial threat of Iran with an atomic bomb.
All right, let's bring it closer to home. As you said, we had another attack only yesterday, so we're pre-recording this episode. So that was for Tuesday, the 21st of January. There's been a spate of anti-Semitic attacks, both in New South Wales and Victoria. Graffiti, arson, all sorts of attacks. What more can our government do in order to circumvent these attacks?
Someone will be killed, Muriel, if they don't. That's the next step. Burning down a childcare centre because it's next to a synagogue in the middle of the night. Children were meant to resume their attending there. I mean, really, it's really got beyond the pale. I think there's reports of some arrests. I really hope that the New South Wales Police and ASIO upgrade their intelligence. It's sort of like, we don't know that much about the Houthis. That's why it's hard for the United States to act against its leaders. I don't think we know enough about who's behind all of this kind of stuff because there hasn't been enough concentration by the police on doing this kind of stuff. In my view, it was disgraceful that they didn't act against those chants outside the Sydney Opera House, because if they had acted then, it would have had a demonstration effect down the months that this kind of behaviour in Australia is not acceptable. The existing laws and the existing police work have to be upgraded to the standard that the Australian population expects. This is not a problem for Australia's tiny Jewish community of 120,000. They're burning down childcare centres. Any Australian child could have been going to that centre. You know, the Australian people hate this extremism. They can't stand all of these aggressive demonstrations. And I was speaking to some Chinese business owners in the city whose businesses have been ruined by those demonstrations in Melbourne City every Sunday.
In the government's defence, they say that more than 100 people have been arrested and charged with anti-Semitism. They've appointed a special envoy for anti-Semitism, Gillian Siegel, of course, and they have criminalised doxing, the Nazi salute. You know, they've passed a bill to criminalise hate speech. There's special
The doxing thing is good. Gillian Siegel's advice was finally listened to, convening the National Cabinet. But her advice for these insolent universities, especially the Big Eight that refuse to adopt the federal government's IHRA definition of anti-Semitism, she wants an inquiry held like it was in the United States.
There is an inquiry for the universities.
It's a human rights inquiry with no powers at all. You need a judicial inquiry that has the power to act and make recommendations. Some soft recommendation from a nondescript human rights inquiry. It relies on a political majority, not on the judgment of people who are impartial. The Premier of New South Wales, who's a mainstream person, called the people who are doing this bastards. He said he made a mistake by not doing what Western Australia has done, and that is outlaw the incitement to violence by some of these hate preachers. That is law in West Australia. So he's going to be putting into law in New South Wales what is law in West Australia. I think that's why it's good to have National Cabinet, so all of these comparative systems can learn from each other and we get the best system. The individuals who are responsible for this need to be arrested and charged and tried, but they also need to have the people who are exciting them or inciting them suppressed too. You know, if you come to Australia, there's a deal. You know, you tolerate everyone else. You don't call for violence against any other minority. We all get along together. This is the tolerant, multicultural Australia that all of our parents made the guarantee for when Australia's been established over the last 50 years.
Thank you so much, Michael Danby, the past chairman of Parliament's Foreign Affairs and Defence Committee. Thank you so much for joining us here on SBS. עקבו אחרינו והפיצו אותנו דרך דף הפייסבוק שלנו.